B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Meanwhile, picking up the Marchand conversation, here's a number we don't care about. We'll let CP and Quincy lead us into it. Go ahead, CP.
Hey, boys, how are you? I totally agree with you about the taking the elbows and the slew foots out of the game, but he's on pace, and he's probably going to get 100 penalty minutes. I think he only needs a couple more minors to get that. So 100 points, 100 penalty minutes, it's the most pimps he's ever had in a season, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Okay, so we got a couple. Thanks, CP. We got a couple calls on this earlier in the show. How Bruins fans are now kind of rooting for him to get – he has 96 penalty minutes. Two more minors, and he gets 100 penalty minutes. He'll have 100 points and 100 penalty minutes. Only the third Bruin in history to do that, and who are the other two or three?
He'd be the fourth. Bruin. Thornton, Ken Hodge, and Bobby Orr did it three times. So all of a sudden now this is a goal?
Yeah, like it's rarefied air, man.
Okay, so like I would say I prefer Marchand to stay right where he is. Stay with the 96 penalty minutes.
Why do you care about the penalty minutes?
I didn't even realize it was a career high. He had 95 one year, though, so what's the difference? Like, I look at that and I just say, no, stay under the 100. You don't want to be in that group. I know they're all good players. You know, Hodge was good, not great. But like, I look at it and say, no, this is the whole point of the season for Marchand. This is the whole point. That he became a different guy in terms of eliminating all the dirt from his game, the cheap from his game, and he produced at a higher level than ever. That's the whole point. Why would you want 100 penalty minutes?
Because Bruins have this thing about, you know,
the big
the grit, being
Bruin,
tough.
The tough and blah.
But that's not what Marchand is.
Yeah, and you know what? This is why they didn't win a cup for 38 years. Because all they were interested in was knocking someone through the glass instead of actually putting the puck in the flipping net.
But I'm telling you, if Neely goes 100 points and 100 penalty minutes, which he never did because he never got 100 points, but if Neely did that or O'Reilly did it or whatever, like, or even Joe Thornton is a little bit better. If your power forward, who's such a physical force that he's constantly knocking heads and fine, that Marchand is trips and slew foots and elbows and
slashes.
Little cheap little crap like that. Those aren't. How many fights? Yeah, he's gotten two. You know, he fought on opening night, which was great. He tuned up Lars Eller. That was tremendous. Has he gotten in another fight? I'm not sure.
Oh, I think he's had at least. I bet you he's had three this year.
He's had more than usual, which is good. I'm glad he has. But. You know, for the most part, those are just cheap little penalties. I would not be celebrating his 100 penalty minutes.
I want him to sit out this weekend.
Me too.
At least one of the two. You want to play him in another one just to get him some, you know, get him some ice time. Fine. Like, I'm okay with that. But no, like, keep it right where it is. The beauty of the whole thing is that he became a different guy a little bit. That's the story. To me, that's the story.
And here's the key, that he keeps it going into the playoffs. He's got to be a point-a-game guy in the playoffs, too. All hands on deck. I mean, Toronto, you may be able to slip by with, you know, not everything firing. You're not going to beat Tampa unless you got everything firing. And so the one thing I used to hold against Marchand is his playoff performances. But they've improved recently, and I think it's important to point that out. Well, the thing I always held against him was the 2013 Stanley Cup Final against Chicago. 0-0-0 across the board. Big donut. And I think he was your leading scorer that year, in fact. Yeah, he was your leading scorer in the regular season in 2013. That was a strike-shortened year. 36 points in 45 games. And then he goes into the playoffs and goes zeros across the board in the Stanley Cup Finals. And people always look at Rask or Sagan. That yeah, Marchand, to me, was at the top of the list. And the year before, he only had one goal in that first-round playoff series against the Capitals. And so he had some scratchy playoff performances. But recently, he's been better. Last year, he had 17 points in 12 games. He's got to do that again. He's got to take this into the postseason. So it's got to be more of a recent sort of playoff performance and not what he used to in the past. Phil and Canton on the Patriots. Hi, Phil.
Hey, I just want to say something that I think that now is the time for the Patriots to get another quarterback. Although that great a year or two.
Again, he's one of these guys with these cords.
Just hold it like a pizza, man.
Well, he's got to be a Bluetooth guy, right? With one of these things dangling down here?
I think.
Talks like this, and I think that they should draft that next quarterback. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you like a guy from Clemson? He's pretty good. Like, I can't stand that person.
Well, I mean, to me, the next quarterback is it's a kind of thing that the you just can't dance around because it's impossible.
I don't care if they draft the guy, trade the guy. I don't care if they have something, but I just can't say this enough. And I'm not a fan like you, Murray, so I come up from different. I'm coming at it. This is business, not personal for me. Okay? Business. I don't want a lull. I don't want a lull. I understand you're not going to be winning, you know, Super Bowls every other year and going 9 straight AFC title games. That's not, I get that. But I can't have this thing where the team's 5-11, 4-12, and you're talking about tanking and who you're drafting and casting about every other year and having someone other than Bill making the call. And that's a big thing for me, too. I don't want Josh making the next call. I want Bill making the next call. And I want Bill to have some time with them. And if that means I have to sacrifice the 7th, I'm okay with that. You got 6. What, are you glutton?
Yep, sure am. Yeah. This is arguably the greatest run of dominance in the history of the NFL, and certainly in this city's history. It's like one...
So it already is.
Yeah, one big nonstop party. The party's not over. It's not ready to wrap up, and you two keep coming in, crashing this party, grabbing anyone within earshot who has a drink in their hand, having a good time, enjoying the party, and trying to tell them, be responsible, focus on the future. You should try to raise a family. Get the hell out of the party. There's the door. Let us have a good time and get the 7th.
Oh, you're looking
the
at
the party continues until Brady is done and the cops break it up.
You know, you guys should be responsible, though. 5 years from now, who's to say what it's really going to be like? I'm thinking about this in the responsible business-like manner.
Ah, hell with 5 years from now. I care about now and a 7th title and more.
Do you want a party? Do you want a party in 5 years or you're done?
We could all be dead in 5 years. The hell do I know? I want it for now. Now, while Brady's still here, more.
I think that analogy sucks, Murray. That's what I think. I think that analogy sucks.
I'm not trying to break up the party. I'm trying to make sure we have a party next week.
I am. You're giving a bad example of this thing. Because really what's going on at this party, you get your face down, you're puking in the corner, and you want to keep going like you're having a good time, and you're really not anymore. So I would really like to be able to party through the next X period of time. And more importantly, we've lived this. This is the part that blows me away. We lived it with the Red Sox. Last World Series, last.
Yeah, you're
was
still,
that fun?
You're still holding on to hating 2013 for whatever hell reason.
I didn't hate 2013. Yeah. I hated the 3 years around it. I just didn't enjoy 2013.
Boy,
there's a difference.
Murray, just wait till Tommy Hotson's here at quarterback. And then I want to hear you talk about the party you had, which you got to stay until 5 a.m. instead of 4. I mean, that's where you're at.
Yeah, with the head in the toilet.
I'll be living in the past. That's the American way. Nostalgia. It's big business.
Mary,
you have issues.
Mary in Manchester on this topic. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. I agree with both of you, actually, because, I mean, I've said on the program before that I would love for them to draft the next quarterback or even two while Belichick's still there,
damn,
you know,
right.
So that he'll be under his tutelage. But there's no guarantee that when Belichick leaves that we're not going to tank, even with, you know, even if they do draft somebody. And I'm with Murray. I want to maximize the amount of time that Brady has, because I think that, you know, if we do end up tanking, that we're going to be talking about the glory days as opposed to what's going on, you know, now. So I agree with both of you.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, everybody's a winner. I have no use for 4-12. None. Zero. It does nothing for anybody. And I don't get it. Laura in Linfield, it's ladies hour. Go ahead, Laura.
Felger, you're killing me here.
Whoa, Laura.
Yeah, I like it. Go, Laura.
There's some cigarettes or what? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, Murray's the positive one on the path, the Red Sox, everyone. And you're so negative in non-New England. Like, it kills me to listen to you, but I do every day.
I don't know how you have a contract.
Isn't that the beauty?
I know. No, you do. And you make way more money than me. And that's awesome. And I listen to you daily. I call it on Mondays, usually after a pass game. But listen to you, you're so freaking negative. It kills me.
How am I negative? I want you to be good every year.
You're a Philly guy. You're negative. You're like, oh, pass this. And you know what? Yeah. The glory days are ending. I get that. You know what? I grew up in the 70s and 80s, all right? I'm old. I'll admit that. And, yeah, it blew, you know, whatever.
Okay, but Laura, I don't want the glory days to be over. This is
you get it backwards.
This is not a negative take, and I'm sorry. I thought that sounded like a do when she first started. No. I don't want – the whole point is I don't want you to suck. Don't you get it? It's about the least negative thing I can come up with. I don't ever want you to suck. where Murray and the rest of you are like, yeah, you know, it's already 4 a.m. We're bombed at this party, but let's keep the party going.
Yeah, that's why there's Adderall. The party can keep going, and the party can keep going for a 7th title. The people side with me here, because I'm right.
No, no. See, the people and you think it's just going to, they'll figure it out and it'll always be good.
Without, yeah, because I believe in the organization. And granted, they've had the best quarterback and coach of all time. They'll figure it out.
You believe God, in, and I say all due phrase. Respect to you, like John Kraft and Josh McDaniels are going to make the next call and you feel good about that.
Yeah, I think that they've built up enough equity that I can trust them in what they're doing here. Unlike the Red Sox, who try to whore out the park at every opportunity. Yeah, buy an umbrella.
What is that?
Buy a stupid
anything?
Panda. Because I didn't like his, he didn't like my analogy. I don't like your comparison to the stupid Red Sox. We're just waiting to trip over themselves.
Okay, so I
I'm
don't,
sorry for insulting you.
I have nothing with the Red Sox, and no disrespect to Josh or John or anything. I'm talking about, I want Bill. What's wrong with Bill making the call? Isn't that the smart thing to do? I'm rooting for you not to suck. That is not negative. That's about the most positive thing you can say. I want to make sure you're always good.
Yeah, but you are. You're negative. You're negative.
It's your Philly, and your Philly cheesesteaks.
Speaking of which.
I like Laura.
She did sound like a fella when I first brought you. Got to admit.
It caught me a little off guard.
Yeah, I didn't mean to upset you.
It's Laura from Linfield.
It sounded like Frank the Tank when I pulled her up.
Yeah, Felger, this is Laura.
Meanwhile, you're Red Sox next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fires. He struck him out. And that's the ballgame. 97 miles an hour. The Red Sox have now lost 4 games in a row, something they didn't do all of last year. A lot of things have been different here early on. 1-0, the final scores. Brock Holt fans to end it.
Meanwhile, the Red Sox, 1-5?
1-5.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, to me, they've gotten what they've deserved. You could argue they should be 0-6. They played poorly. They haven't synced up anything. You could say the starting pitching's been better the last couple of nights, but really last night more than anything else. And now they haven't hit in 2 days. So this is, you know, these are the classic signs of a slump when you start pitching one night and not hitting and then hitting and not pitching and, you know, vice versa and blah, blah, blah. But it would be nice if they could actually, you know, win a game. It'd be nice if they could win a game.
Yeah, they look tight and unprepared. And the tightness, I think, was real evident last night. The first time they're shut out back-to-back games since 2015. But in the 7th inning, they start to get something going with a couple of outs, and it's Vasquez who gets a double. He actually steals 3rd. Jackie Bradley Jr. is up. Terrible strikeout, and he slams his bat. And, it, you know, we're a week into the season. Like, ugh.
I mean, they're starting to feel it. I don't think there's any question about that. And I told you, the bigger story for me in that game last night is the velocity on Sale. Like, because it is, at the end of the day, it's only 6 games. I get it. It's a long season. We all understand that. But the velocity with Sale, I've seen guys who are hard throwers start a year slow. Hell, we saw it with Sale last year and pitch at 92, 93, 94, whatever. And then, you know, about 2 months later, they're 4 or 5 miles higher. I you see that. Fine. No problem. 10 miles an hour, 8 to 10 miles an hour. If he's in the 80s. Like, to me, that's a different thing.
Okay, but you understand that applies to the whole staff.
Yes.
According to our advanced metrics, again, Eddie Rodriguez, in his start the other day, had the 2nd lowest fastball velocity for any start in his career. David Price, in his start, had the 4th lowest fastball velocity for any start in his career. Rick Porcello even had the 8th lowest fastball velocity. Fastball velocity for any start in his career. And Sale, the lowest fastball velocity last night for any start in his career. Feels like a trend. As I've been saying, I think this is all part of their approach. And I think it may prove to be the wrong approach. But the approach is saving bullets. I mean, it's just obvious. But it's a little cavalier, like the way they built their team. A little cavalier, a little cocky to think you can go into the regular season playing soft toss and it's all going to be okay. And the risk is that your pitchers get boxed around a little bit. The losses pile up. It compounds. And the next thing you know, you're in a slump. And now guys are pressing and it sort of snowballs. And that's what I think they could have created for themselves here.
Well, so there's some of that going on. Again, just look at the reactions. Murray mentioned Bradley Bogaerts after he got thrown out at third last night in what was, to me, just a bad base-running decision. It's an aggressive one, but it's the kind of play you got to make it. And then he's sitting in the dugout, and he has his face in his hands. We're a week into the season. We're not even a week into the season. And he's got his face in his hands in the dugout? Like, it's just
maybe he can't believe that dude threw him out again. I mean, what a freaking throw.
But they're putting themselves in a little bit of a spot here. A little bit. Right out of the gate. And, again, I just look at the Sale thing. Mike, there's no question that they backed the starters off. They did. But I look at Sale and I say, he's got that much to go? And I also question whether the
approach... So, right, I think they've gone too far with it. They've played with fire, just like the way they built their team. Again, we won the World Series last year without a bullpen, so, we won't build our bullpen this year. And we won without a second baseman last year, so we'll just do it again. And now they're saying, we started 17-2 last year. Everybody sucks. We'll figure it out. We're gonna have a week or two of extended spring training, and these guys are going to go throw underhanded because we don't want to get them hurt. It's all going to be okay. And I just think, they might have pushed that whole thing a little too far.
Yeah, maybe. And again, I also wonder with Sale whether at the end of the day it's going to work, because everything to this point in the guy's career, at least with them, has suggested that he fades a little in the second half. So last year they backed him off. Then he amped it up in his arm. You know, he hurt his shoulder. I don't want to say he broke down, but I had to go on the disabled list, and he wasn't the same the rest of the year. Who's to say the same thing's not going to happen again now? If I were them, I would have adhered a little bit more closely to what they did last year, because this was even more. Okay, this was even more. I would have adhered a little more closely to what they did last year, and then I'd give Sale a break in the middle of the year. Give him a month off and have him throw on the side, whatever, but no games, nothing where he's airing it out. And if you have to rebuild him a little, so be it. But honestly, I'm not convinced this is going to work.
Okay, we'll get back to the Bogaerts play in the ninth inning. That was another unbelievable play. And your Red Sox thoughts along with everything else. We continue with Bill in Needham. Back to our Parcells-Belichick conversation. Yes, Bill.
Yeah, it's Bob, actually. Mike, do you have early onset Alzheimer's? You guys tell Parcells left the cupboard full. He had Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, Drew Bledsoe, Adam Vinatieri, Bruce Armstrong.
Hold on. Drew Bledsoe? here's my parting gift, Bledsoe. Really?
When he left, wasn't he considered a great quarterback?
Nah, I thought he was the most overrated player
when
in the league.
But at that point, they signed him for 100
years. You're right. He was fine. He was good.
No, he was considered an elite. Parcells did not leave the cover bid. He left them with they went 10-6 and 9-7 and made the playoffs both the years after he left.
Okay, so
both
listen.
Those years, he did not leave the cover bid. I think you're besmirching the guy that built this whole thing. And he did more than Belichick did, because he showed the whole organization how to run an organization. Remember the Victor Kiam thing?
Of course. Just because he was better than those knuckleheads doesn't mean he was what? He did more than Belichick? Did you just say that? Would you stop with that? And it's an overstatement. Yes, I besmirched Parcells. That's how the crafts view Parcells, that he tried to light the thing on fire. He was just worried about the here and now, not worried about the long term. Overspent. Remember that spate of free agents that he had? Myron Guyton.
Sure.
And like, there was a whole bunch of guys.
Marion Butts.
Spent a lot of money on, right? They didn't really pan out, and they sort of held that against him. He didn't care about the money because he was out the door. And so that's an overstatement to say that he put the thing on fire. He didn't. It was purposely overstated for the point of the discussion. Parcells had some amazing draft years. I mean, 1995. Here's 1995. First round, Ty Law, Hall of Fame. Second round, Ted Johnson, really good. Third round, Curtis Martin, Hall of Fame. Third round, Jimmy Hitchcock was a good corner for you for a while. Dave Wallaball was in the fourth round, center. Good player for you. That was a hell of a draft.
Great draft.
96, outstanding, although I don't know how much credit to give him, because he stormed out of the draft room. So he flipped the table over and left. So I don't know if I give him credit for Terry Glenn, who was a good pick, and Lawyer Malloy in the second round, Teddy Bruschi in the third. How's that for a draft? 1, 2, 3. Glenn, Malloy, Bruschi.
Wow, in those two drafts, I got like 8 guys.
Tremendous. So those drafts did set him up, no question. And my thing about Parcells was an overstatement. It still applies. I think the Crafts viewed him that way. Bill was here when Parcells left in 96. He knows how the Crafts felt about it. And playing into how they're setting up their books and their roster is Bill doing, Belichick doing the exact opposite with clearing the decks, clearing the books for a reset next year. That was Bedard's point on Boston Sports Journal. I welcome you to read that story.
So the thing with Parcells, like as you go over the roster, he just leaves people hanging. I mean, again, he walked out on a team that was in the Super Bowl, basically. Yeah. And then with the Giants, after Belichick left and went to Cleveland, he resigned as coaches of the Giants.
Exactly.
So it's almost like, Belichick sitting there going, well, if I had known this was coming, I would have stayed in New York. I'm the coach of the Giants.
Nick in Marshfield, give me a Bruins thought.
Hey, guys, what's up? Maz, I owe you an apology. During the year, I told you to watch out for Buffalo. They went on that 10-game winning streak. I told you to suck it. And now you can tell me to suck it because they're not even going to make the playoffs. So forgive me for that.
No, don't sweat it, Nick. We're all wrong.
Okay, fair enough. Connor Clifton over Kevin Miller in the first round, at least. I want to see it happen. Connor Clifton can do just as much, if not more, than Kevin Miller. Better moving the puck, better shot, isn't very prone to injury, can play just as physical as Kevin Miller. I'd like to see him play, especially against a speedy team like Toronto, and maybe even if he plays well against Toronto, keep him in there against Tampa Bay if you get there.
Let's keep it in our pants on Connor Clifton as well. I like Connor Clifton. Nice little revelation. I want the experience and I want the size.
I was just going to say, how big is Clifton?
I'm just looking it up. 5'11", 175.
Miller's bigger than that.
And Kevin Miller is, as I look it up,
6'1"?
6'2", 210.
Yeah.
We can't have difference. How many little guys? And Clifton plays bigger than that. Like, I love his physical game. Believe me. And maybe they've hit on something there for the long term and keep him on the team into the playoffs as the 7th, 8th guy, whatever. No problem. Kevin Miller should be in the lineup. You need that. You need that element. You need that element, for God's sake.
I don't want both Grizzlick and Krug in there at the same time, for crying out loud.
Well, that's happening.
Well, I know. I'm just telling you, I think that's too small. Now, look, with Toronto, maybe it's a little different, right? Because Toronto's a speed team. But even so, like, I don't think those guys aren't going to make it through, both of them.
Back with more and another unbelievable play last night in Oakland that we'll hit on right after Murray's up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
High fly ball right center on the move. Laureano back to the track, back to the wall. Loose high off the wall. Xander Bogaerts digging for two. Takes the turn. He's on his way to third. Here's the throw. He dives in. He's in.
Oh, my God.
Cut down at third base.
You got to be kidding me. Look at this throw.
Out at third. Laureano at it again.
It ran out of gas at the end, but he was throwing it from like 350 feet. I thought the ball almost went out of the ballpark. It went a little to the left. That ball's gone. It bounces off. Bogey's trying to get three. I said, no problem. He throws it all away. One hop. He's out. I don't know.
There was a little hesitation here. Right there. That may have cost him.
All right, if you didn't stay up for it, I don't blame you, but maybe you've caught up on it. Red Sox getting shut out, 1-0, 9th inning, one out. Xander Bogaerts hits a ball that is a foot from being a home run in two different directions. That stupid stadium out there, retrofitted for the football with the way the wall is. He hits the corner of this wall, where if it's a foot to the left, it's gone. If it's a foot higher, it's gone.
Right on the 388-foot sign.
It's right in the corner where it bounces off the wall. And this Laureano, this center fielder that gunned him out at home two nights before, this guy, again, with another just freaking ridiculous howitzer from deep center field, guns him out at third. Bogaerts was a little slow coming out of the gate. He was a little slow coming out of the box. And then he hesitated just for a second around second base. And Laureano gunned him out at third. And it cost the Red Sox that would have been, runner on second, one out if he had just stood there. Or he had made it into third, runner on third, one out with a chance to tie the ball game. Did he F up in going to third, Maz?
Yes, he did. I look again. It was a close play, and the guy made a fabulous offensive play. But in that situation, you cannot get thrown out. You just can't. It's got to be 100%. You have to be able to make it. If you're going to take that gamble, you've got to make it. There's just no way around that. So you go from having a man in scoring position with one out to having nobody on base and two outs in a 1-0 game.
Ball game.
That's a huge, huge difference. And I think the next two batters were left-handed too, right? You would add, was it Moreland and Holt?
Yeah. Holt ended the game, I think. The next.
So, you know, like, there's a chance of an intentional walk there. Now you got first and second. Like, all types of things start to happen. Just a massive, massive mistake.
Yeah, he got greedy. He should have stayed at second. And where I had more of an issue was when he was going around second. He looked into center field to be like, oh, what's going on out there? And that's what slowed him up. Coming out of the box, people forget, if you weren't watching, and again, it's like 1 a.m, I don't blame you, he took one right off the shin and went down like he got shot before he ended up having this hit. So I tend to think, because he was acting, I think it really hurt him, that's why he came out of the box. He was still feeling it a little bit.
But that dude can throw the base.
Oh, yeah, he's got a hose.
Bullets. Oh, my God.
And I'll tell you, the thing that really impresses me the more you watch him is the accuracy. Like, Jackie Bradley's got a great arm, too. Half the time, it doesn't know where it's going. And this guy, the three throws, you know, that, and again, I'm going back to last year now, when he threw the guy out at first base, he was up against the wall in left center and threw a strike to first base. And then these two from center, and then the one to third last night. The one last night, the ball was rolling away from him. He ran up, grabbed it, and threw it all on the fly and right on the money.
Okay, we got 8 minutes left. I have 7 calls on the board. Let's try and get through it, Jimmy. What should we call it?
Let's say the lightning round.
Lightning round. I've heard that before. Joe in the car, go.
As sponsor once.
Yeah, Maz is in the corner puking, and Murray and I are walking through with the strippers. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? You keep this party going because you know what? The Patriots put their chances up against any other organization. He 60 shot down the road. You know that's true. Keep the party going. Get the strippers going.
Oh,
Murray.
My Let's God. Go. See, I'm the one that wants to keep the party going for weeks and months and years. And you want it to end tonight. So you're the ones who are rooting for this thing to end. And, oh, by the way, the organization, and again, I don't want to besmirch the Crafts because they've done obviously an excellent job here. But ask soccer fans how their methods and their business methods work. You know, I mean, I don't know. Robert Kraft always says we apply the same things to the Patriots that we apply to all of our businesses. Really? Then how come the Revolution are the worst team in soccer and have been for 2 decades? If you're applying the same thing, if it's the same system that you're using in the football as in the soccer, then why come the soccer is a joke?
That's just lip service.
Oh, is it? Or did a quarterback fall into your lap?
Yeah, so ultimately, I said it before, it's more about Brady than the team for me, so I want more with Brady, like most people, more with Brady.
Okay.
That's what's important.
And Belichick didn't fall, Brady was luck, Belichick wasn't. Kraft identified it, saw it, paid for it, gave up a first-round
sure.
pick, so that there was no luck with Belichick. Let him make the call. Keep the party going. Spencer in Watertown. Go, Spencer.
Hi, boys. Great show, as always. You know, guys, I really want to wake up early with you guys. I really want to have a nice breakfast, go to the gym before work. But Murray's party is just too goddamn good. I prefer to look back. When the Patriots suck, when they're middling a team at least, I prefer to look back on this time and look at 7 or 8 rings rather than 6. And you know what? It does matter, guys. It does matter.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
All right. I'm not going to tell you right or wrong. There is no right or wrong. It's just how you feel. I'm just surprised you feel that way. I mean, honestly, looking back on it, don't you wish they traded Bird or McHale or Parrish? And I mean, do you understand what happened?
Yes.
In the 90s into the 2000s?
Yes, I wish they traded someone, yes.
I mean, in hindsight, don't you?
Yes, of course, yes. The whole loyalty thing is gone. There was a period of time when I was, 16, where I wanted a guy to play for the team for his whole career. And then I got over it, Murray.
Well, what the hell would that have done anyway? Michael Jordan was at his height during that era, so even if they got someone to play, they weren't going to...
You understand philosophically versus cratering and then just taking over a decade to figure it out.
They had to wait 22 years to win another title.
Oh, God.
22.
I'm still glad that I got to go to some of those late... back-breaking Bird games where he's just hobbling around like an old man to say, yeah, I saw him once.
Mike and Woburn, quickly.
You're wrong about Marchand, and you're wrong about partying. First of all, on Marchand, he's basically the greatest instigator that's ever laced him up. He's got more points than Claude Lemieux ever had, more points than Dale Hunter ever had, and he's doing it in an age where goalies stand up, they don't stand up straight, and they have, you know, pads thinner than freaking yoga mats. Like, those guys could score 30 goals and it wouldn't be anything. It's hard to score now.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I don't say what I'm wrong about. I agree with you. I mean, what you just said.
Because you say he's dirty. Like, he's not dirty. He's dirty in the player safety age of the
Mike.
NHL. Scott Stevens is would be a war criminal today. They'd be trying him at the Hague every week. Second.
I hate when you become such a homer. You are so much less interesting when you are, like, just a home piece. Brad Marchand's played dirty. He's a dirty player. He's toned it down this year.
Who gives a crap if the standards have changed? Whatever the standards are the rules. If you're dirty by those rules, you're dirty.
He's the most fined and suspended.
Where's the gray area there?
He's the most fined and suspended player in the NHL. And he is an elite, elite offensive guy. But that first thing is the first thing. Good God, what's the party point?
Well, congratulations, Nana DuPont, on part two on your opinion on Marchand. Partying, Mike. If you're partying with Belushi and Aykroyd, are you saving any blow for when Joe Piscopo comes around?
I get your point, but what?
No, you don't. You freaking do as much as you can and hope you don't have a heart attack.
No, okay, no. So then you end up like Belushi with his girlfriend in the hotel room in L.A. That's what happens to you.
Who's more memorable, Belushi? Who's more memorable, Brady? I don't care about the next guy. I want more with the best guy.
This analogy sucks. I hate this analogy.
All analogies suck.
Same.
All analogies suck.
Not all of them. Some are actually hefty.
So. Most analogies suck because there's always some dinkweed that calls up and says, well, actually, Aykroyd was after him. And they try and pick apart because nothing's alike. So you can't ever do an analogy because there's always some pud jackwagon sitting there waiting to go, but no, actually. So there is no good analogy. I'm just surprised that you don't care about the next quarterback when that's all that matters. And if you don't have it, you're porked. Porked!
I don't want to suck.
Tom and Quincy, are you enjoying the Red Sox season so far?
Oh, God, Mike, no. Let me start with what pisses me off the most. It's, one, people that are saying that they're inconsistent, they've sucked since opening day. Sucked. Not like not decent. I mean sucked. So if they're going to do this, I'm going to hit one night and then not have pitching, and then the next night I'm going to pitch but then not have hitting. This is going to drive me fucking bananas.
Okay, Tom.
Okay, you were good up until then.
It's the first time he let it go. It's the first time he let it go.
Jimmy, I'd like to replay the first part of that call in the baseball report. So let me know when you have it.
Or just beep out.
I'm serious, by the way.
No, but that's what happens when, you know, you're so cavalier about the pitching. We're going to play softball here to start the year, but, you know, we'll figure it out. And the next thing you know, you're 1-3, and now the guys are squeezing the bats, and now they're in a slump, and now you're 1-5, worried about 1-6, and now people are starting to look at each other, and you're changing the batting order, and this whole little soft opening that you were planning, that it's all going to work itself out, has sort of tightened on you, and now it's snowballing. Like, that's the danger.
See, part of me wants to say to people right now, okay, I told you, part of me wants to say that. I'm not going to do that.
Oh, you so want to, though.
Okay, but this is the danger of, you know, and on some level, this is sort of like the young guys with the Celtics, too much success too early. This is the danger of a 108-win season, and then you rampage through the playoffs, is that you show up thinking it's easy, and it's not. The game is not easy. It just, you don't win like that, usually. You don't. It's just not built that way.
And you know what? Following up on the analogy, which again sucked, I want to do blow with Joe Piscopo. Okay? If that's it, I have to go till 8 in the morning, 10 in the morning with Aykroyd and Belushi? No. I'd rather go home at 3 and then dial it back the next week with Piscopo.
Ugh.
George,
I'd rather just drink for like 10 years.
Go ahead, George. What do you got?
Hey, I'm with Murray. Let's keep it going. I want all the drugs. I want more than those other frauds in Pittsburgh when they have a fat slob on the top of the table where no one there even likes them. I want more.
Okay. Why can't you get more with the next quarterback? That's the whole thing. You know how much more impressive that is? That, you know, the best coach quarterback thing. It's done. That's done. It's over. It's done. You've won it. Isn't it so much more impressive to win with the next guy? And then it really becomes about your organization and you. Right now, the quarterback just fell into your lap at 199. That could happen to anybody. You do it again? Now you've proven you're something different.
I mean, they had the next guy.
If you do it with the next guy, now you prove.
I want seven rings. So you can beat Jordan, have the most rings, all for Brady.
I mean, to me, the Niners, in some respects, more impressive than you. They brought in another coach, they brought in another quarterback, and they won again. They kept it going just as long as you've kept it going, but they didn't just rely on the one lucky draft pick. They got another coach and another quarterback, and they won again. I think that's pretty cool. No, that's not a party? Is that a party?
No, yeah. but they didn't win as much as you.
Yeah.
They only get five.
Oh, yeah. That's not a party? I consider that a party.
I didn't tell you it wasn't a party. I just said that the Patriots run is actually better.
San Francisco.
Instead of Piscopo, can I go Eddie Murphy?
They're stupid wine and
cheese. I like this. I can actually pick on both of you right now. I think your analogy sucks and you're wrong.
Here comes the final word right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Jim.
Nobody. All right, let's see if we can run through these three pieces of sound here in the final word. Before we do that, do you want to plug what you have coming up with Ty Anderson?
Oh, yes, off-air show coming your way in 3 minutes. Myself, Ty Anderson, will honk out more on the Bruins, okay? And you know, again, whatever the hell you want, okay? And Ty swears, and it's all good. Facebook Live, Twitch, off-air show coming your way in 2 minutes. We'll be in there in a minute, so see you then.
Okay, so little Mikey Felger hates... The Montreal Canadiens, doesn't like having to wear his fandom on his sleeve. But boy, if Montreal gets in, he could have to see him and he'd have to be a fan. And you don't like that.
In terms of that second round, here's how the Canadiens are the last team that I sort of have that childish fan. Like how you all feel about the Jets or the Colts or whatever, all the crap you bring to the table. I only have one more team that I feel that way about, and that's Montreal. I turn to a 6-year-old boy. Baby, when I hate them with a visceral, emotional hatred. I follow them every night, rooting against them every night. That's the one negative from last night is that you brought Montreal even in points with Columbus, and now they both have two games left, and they're going for the eighth spot. And now you add the Julian thing on top of it. And okay, so does Montreal have a better chance of knocking off Tampa than Columbus or Carolina? Based on the goalie, maybe.
So based on the goal, I'll tell you what. I don't know, that Columbus team is...
Columbus is better.
They're pretty good.
Their roster's better.
I think Columbus has got a shot.
Montreal's not quite ready. This was supposed to be a rebuild there this year, and Claude's done a good job, and you know they've been sniffing the playoffs all year. So they're sort of a year early, but the goalie's not. The goalie's not.
Columbus is the better player there.
But this is how messed up I am. I'd rather lose to Tampa in the second round than face Montreal and face the prospect of losing to Montreal because I'm a 6-year-old baby fanboy, and I
no reason to be ashamed.
I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. Honestly, I am. But I'm nothing if not honest. I'm just telling you how I feel about that. I don't want to face Montreal, and then the prospect of Julian beating you, and then all these honks who cover the team around town. Oh, I guess Julian doesn't suck, does he, Felger?
No, I'm not ready for it this year. I'm not in the mood for it this year. Sometimes I'm up for the fight. This year I'm not up for it. I'm just not up for it.
It's just all the residual after effect of the beating you've taken over the last year.
It's really true. I'm a beaten man.
finally,
been demoralized.
Yeah, let's just get to this. You can typically set a watch, Felger. I feel like anytime you get defensive when Maz brings up a he knows Belichick better than most.
Oh boy, does he ever! Yeah. Holy crap,
it's so asinine.
So we had that again today.
In fact, I would go so far as to say that if Bill doesn't pick the next quarterback, like, given what his priorities may be, don't jump down my throat. Like, heaven forbid I mentioned that in the past.
Well, no,
you say that Bill Parcells left him in ruin and built in like that.
You know him better than I do. Like, you know.
You do.
I don't.
What is wrong with that statement? Yes, you do.
I don't.
You knew him at one time better than I did.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
But anyway.
So anyway, that aside, I don't understand why you're so resistant to admit that.
It's silly. I don't know him.
But I would tell you that, like, Theo Epstein, I know him better than you do.
You do.
I don't know him well.
But you talk to people.
Okay, you didn't talk to Bill when he was the coach?
Not in a decade. I haven't talked to the man in a decade.
I haven't talked to Theo in years. I still know him better than you do.
Oh, crap. But anyway, go ahead.
I haven't. It's been, well, maybe months.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but I'm telling you, it's been a long time.
You actually talk to people and keep relationships. I have none.
Okay, but even still, you know him better than I do.
Anyway. It's like 13 years. I can't tell you the last time I spoke to the man.
What does that matter? You still had some insight into who he was at one time.
13 years ago.
So what? Not all of them has changed.
It's not relevant.
Yeah, it is.
My personal experience with him or Brady are not relevant.
Of course,
Tony, didn't Bill snort at you on an elevator?
Yes, you've spoken to him more recently than I have. You know him better than I do, man.
I think I was on this elevator, too.
Well, that wasn't actually... No, no, it wasn't this elevator.
It was camp.
Training camp. It was at Gillette. Yeah, and he didn't actually speak. He grunted.
I think Bear said something to you, and he just snorted at you.
Yeah. I said, hey, how's it going?
It's like me saying to you, well, you know Carl Everett better than I do.
I do.
Yes. When's the last time you crossed paths with the man?
Last week.
Doesn't matter. But
20 years ago.
Yeah, but at least I was around him for some period of time in my life.
Baseball reporters, what do you have coming up?
It's going to be Chris Sale, the great question about his velocity last night and whether or not you're now worried about it. The 1-5 start, certainly Xander Bogaerts, base running, all of that we'll get into on the baseball reporters.
Okay, baseball reporters here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, the off-air show now on Facebook. I'm running in there right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.